Are you affected by addiction and struggling to find hope? You don't have to feel this way anymore. Welcome to The Peace We Crave. Find your freedom in addiction recovery with me, your host, Tanya Day. There is hope. As a spiritual life recovery coach, I use a unique holistic approach of meditation, Reiki energy and sound healing, and spiritual life transformation to help you find peace and serenity. If you are sick and tired of feeling sick and tired and have had enough, I get it. I've been there, and I can provide a listening and sympathetic ear. Creating calm in your recovery is possible. If you are ready for help and hope towards your freedom in recovery, join into the Peace We Crave show with me as I help you find your freedom in addiction recovery. It all starts now.
I'm Dr. Pat, and I get to take this journey. Tanya, I got to tell you, I have been looking forward to this show beyond what you can imagine. I want to tell everybody this episode is called Spirituality and Sobriety. And I want to talk about this with you for a lot of reasons, but I want to also talk about what spirituality is, because I would have never thought it was what it is. July, I celebrated 33 years. And I will tell, right? Look at her.
Wow.
And I want to tell you, I could not do this without what we're going to talk about today. All right. I got to kick it up to you. But before I do, give us your synopsis of the state of affairs of what you see in the world before we talk about what spirituality is. Give us a snapshot of what you're seeing. I want to set the stage, if you don't mind.
So I'll also share that on Saturday, August 5th, I celebrated 10 years of continuous sobriety. So like, we're just celebrating right now. I love it, Dr. Pat. It's freaking awesome. Oh, it's beautiful. So the state of affairs that I'm seeing is I'm just seeing people struggling. I'm seeing people struggling with not only addiction, but all kinds of other things. And it's just, it's like, we're not reaching out. We're not asking for help. We're embarrassed to talk about things. We're not bringing things to the surface. You know, it's true for me. I mean, I do it too. I get it. But, you know, I'm just seeing it more and more, and it's really, I feel like it's bringing people down.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, the reason I brought it up is because I think there are moments. I watched a show last night, and you know, I always like to stay on top of like what happens when you get very close to picking up that drink and then, or using, or whatever that is, whatever your drug of choice is, I don't care. It could be your cell phone today, but when you get that close, right? And you don't, and then you get that close and you do. The difference between that, in my opinion, is called spirituality. Tell us from your perspective, what spirituality has come to mean to you.
Yeah. So I'm really glad you brought that up too, because I had a personal experience last fall where I came very close. There were things going on with me personally, and I was like, ooh, a drink sounds like a great idea. Yeah. And then I said, wait a minute. Whoa. But I entertained it a little bit too long for my liking. And that's where my spirituality really came in. So yeah. I believe in, well, spirituality to me is just something bigger than you that just makes this whole thing go. I don't know what it is. I don't know how it works. It's just this great mystery out there that just keeps everything rolling along all nice. And I'm just here for the ride.
Well, let's talk about the connection, because it is a connection. You know, first of all, it doesn't matter to me what kind of program you're in, whatever you're doing, you know, you will hear across the board that spirituality is foundational. It's just the way it is. And this now, today, we get to define this in our own ways. You know, if you looked around my neck right now, I don't know if I can show you, but if you looked around my neck right now, you'll see something from my newly discovered culture in South America, and it's called a Chicana. But here's what we do. We got to stop the judging. So let's talk about, you know, this sense of connection and how important it is, but unconditionally allowing people to have a sense of connection to whatever it is they want to connect to.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the programs that I do, it's just something bigger than you. It doesn't matter what it's called. It doesn't matter, you know, as long as you're connecting to it in a daily basis. I mean, not a daily. I mean, for me, it's like a second by second basis.
Yeah, it is.
I need that help so badly.
I know my team knows, but probably Emily doesn't know just yet, but they can tell by the Skype messages I sent, right? There'll be days where I'll just a very simple Skype message, not like, hey, hi, how are you, right? Those are the days when they're thinking, man, she better get some kind of connection going on there. You know what I mean? But let's talk about why we need it. What have we lost? Have we lost our way? Have we lost our search for life? Have we lost our meaning? What is it that causes us to forget? Know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And I'm trying to think about putting words to it. I'm thinking what's coming up is like ego, right? I think I know everything. I think I can do it myself. Again, I talked about it before. Don't need help. I can do it. And everybody says, you know, work hard. You can do the thing. And yeah, right. Like that's what they say. And yeah, I can work hard for sure. But I just can't do this life thing by myself. We're humans. We're not made to do that. And when I was trying to do that, when I was trying to run the show myself, I was miserable. And there was like, I was missing something. It's like, I was missing a part of myself, like that void, like that hole in the soul, whatever you want to call it, that thing I was filling with the alcohol and all the addictive behavior. Like I was reaching for something instead of just reaching for a spirit. Yeah. So let's call it spirit. I mean,
yeah. I mean, I love that we're talking about this because I want to be very clear to everybody listening. When I walked through the doors, as I did, and I did walk through those doors of a 12-step program in Mount Vernon, New York. When I walked through those doors, first of all, I wasn't sober walking through. But the other thing was, you couldn't even mention spirit God to me. Okay, so we have come a long way, baby. But it's because we have to go through the healing of self. You see, we have to go through that healing of self to understand that when we take a life path, that we are going to have ups and downs and sideways. But what was it for you that enabled you to understand you weren't alone? When did that happen for you? Because now you coach it. Now you help other people with it. So, I mean, you must be reminded of when that happened for you, that transition.
I feel like there was a few. The first one I vividly remember was when my addiction almost killed me. And I had this, I hate to say a voice in my head, but I had something say to me, you know, I brought you back for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really profound. And then like you just mentioned, stepping into the rooms. I mean, yeah. That was a spiritual experience in and of itself. Yeah. I mean, there's a power greater than me for sure. Staying sober every single day.
Yeah. So. Yeah. You know how we know it? Okay, let's get off track for a little bit and share a little bit. You know how we know it when we look back? Because you and I are sitting here, probably most highly unlikely situations that got us to that first moment. For me, I had just been in an abusive relationship, thrown down a flight of stairs, black and blue, a bite mark on my arm. And I walked and my head was all shaved because it was a Sinead O'Connor moment. And my heart goes out to her and her family. Her passing just shook me the other day. Yeah. But it was a Sinead O'Connor. It was me. So I walk in, hoodie on, go to a wrong meeting. The Al-Anon people kick me out. They tell me to go down. And I'm telling you, you can smell the booze. They tell me to go down the hall. They say, go in a room down the hall. Instead of going in the left, I went in the right. And I walked into a very dark, didn't know it, men's meeting. And I sat in the back. And on the way out, right? There were three of us in the back. On the way out, really bearded guy at the door stops me and two other guys and says, you, don't go anywhere. I'm your sponsor. And I'm telling you, I hid that I was a woman. And we went on to work in a group together. And I continued to lie about the fact that I was a woman. Now, how do you get there? You can't get there by yourself in that situation, right? You see, these are moments that we look back on that we know we were guided in the most unusual situation. Have you ever had those? Has that happened for you?
Yeah, those moments of desperation, right? Those moments where you tell me to go sit on my head in the corner for an hour. If that'll keep you sober, I'll do it. Because I just don't want to die. and I don't know what else to do. And you get down to that, what they call it, rock bottom or whatever you want to call it. Gift of desperation, I've heard it called. Good orderly direction, I've heard it called. But that moment for me was just walking into that first room and just people just being so freaking happy. Why are they happy? I don't get it. And I wanted that so badly. I was so miserable. Well, won't curse, but I was just as miserable as you can imagine. Like just too much of a coward to end it all. And I just wanted so badly to feel better. And who knew that I just had to find some sort of spirituality that worked for me, something to connect with every day that gives me meaning and purpose in my life, you know, that guides me and helps me and does amazing things. And then is there when life gets lifey and I have to do hard things and show up and not pick up.
Yeah. I have to tell you that, you know, we're going to, this is really the importance of this show today. If you're just tuning in to The Peace We Crave, you know, spirituality and sobriety is what we're talking about, finding that power greater than you. And it's a very important conversation when we look at finding that power greater than you, because it is essential you find it. I want to ask you this question. You and I just talked about trying to explain the unexplainable. See, that's that invisible energy. My friend, Dr. Jean Houston, calls it that the invisible energy. You call it the voice. I don't care what you call it. It's the place that guides you down a hall to a room instead of out the door. And I wanted to just ask you this question, because this is foundational for the work you do. Why has this become such a pivotal part of your platform in The Peace We Crave?
Because for me personally, my relationship with my spirit is the only thing that continues to save me every single day. It is foundational to my recovery. And if I don't have it, I wouldn't be sitting here with you right now if I didn't have it. Because, you know, people can fail me. I don't get to the meeting. Person doesn't pick up the phone, you know, the thing I want to do, this and that, all these things can happen, but spirit's always there. It's the thing that's always with me all the time.
I mean, this is the part that is so hard for people to understand, but when the switch goes on, it's hard to walk away and forget it, isn't it? I want to take a minute, because I mentioned the body of work you do, the coaching. Can you talk a little bit about what you do to help people and how they can find out more about you before we talk about why we need this to stay clean and sober? But how do people work with you? What is the best way for people to work with you and step into your, you know, spiritual life recovery coaching program?
Yeah. So if you just visit my website, thepeacewecrave.com, pretty easy. And I'm all over the place. If you Google me, you'll find me for sure. Yeah. Just reach out to me, set up a call. Like, I'd love to talk to you, talk about where you're at, because everybody's at a different place as well. I have a woman recently who reached out to me. She also has 30 years and she's like, I don't have a God, and she's trying to find God again. So we're working together on doing that, so I can help you when you're there or wherever you're at. Cause I feel like in my 10 years, I've had such a broad, experience with spirituality, cause I've gone all over the place with it, from hating it to loving it, to hating it, to all over the place. So.
Yeah. You and me both. And thank you for saying that, because it doesn't matter. I just want to be very clear with people out here. When you hear about how many years somebody has or doesn't have, it doesn't matter. When you look at The Peace We Crave and you are everywhere. When you look at what you're doing and you see the message and the way it spreads, you understand that underneath that, you are being guided to do this. You are being called to a purpose greater than you. And this is really part of it. It doesn't matter if you have 1 year, no years, 30, 50 years, you know, throw all that out the window. You need help, go get help. All right. I want to talk to you about why. Everybody, the big word why now, everybody says, what's your why? What's your why? But I want to talk about what your why is when it comes to staying clean and sober, because there is a why. And the why is why. How many times have you been asked or told? I can't tell you how many times I have worked with somebody and say, why? Why do I need it? Why do I need spirituality? Isn't this the burning question that you get asked all the time? But you and I know the answer to that. What is your answer to why do I need it?
kind of alluded to it a little bit before, but it's that thing that's always there. It will never leave me. It's always been there my entire life. I just never reached out. I never sought it out. It's there in moments of stress and moments of happiness all the time. And it's that thing I fall back on that also gives me a really, that's the peace we crave. It gives me a sense of peace. It yeah. gives me a sense of just feeling like I'm cared for, like something really mm-hmm. does love me and care about me absolutely unconditionally. I don't have to do anything. I just have to try to connect.
I want to talk to you about this one thing around this. I can look back and I've talked a bit about looking back at my life. Recently, I did a keynote talk and a bunch of other talks. And I look back, and when people hear my story, they're just like, are you kidding me? And I don't tell it like the gloom and doom because I don't live in that place anymore. As a matter of fact, I had a coach tell me, you need to be a little bit more dramatic with your past. And I said, yeah, I just don't hold it like that anymore. But I wanted to ask you this question, because when I look back and connect the dots that got me to where I am today are spiritual dots. They are. And, you know, sometimes they're part of a religion, sometimes they're not. But they are the dots. Aren't these moments that you have with spirit, don't they help you connect the dots to your life purpose?
Oh yeah. Yeah. 100%. I mean, if I didn't have that moment where I felt like something, there was a point in my life when I thought about committing suicide, you know, when I was younger, and I felt like something pulled me out of that. Same thing with the drinking. I felt like something pulled me back from that. You know, it's just these, even talking to you right now, I'm like shaking, right? But I know God's here with me and I'm being helped and I'm guided to being said. Well, whoever needs to hear this is going to hear what they need. I know it. I'm not speaking. It's something else is speaking. So a lot of times I try my best to just get out of the way and just try to let spirit in and talk to a person. Mm-hmm. And when I do that, it's way better because I'm not running the show.
You know, I think that leads me to something else I want you to talk about that's really important. I remember so much about the first early years. And I'm telling you, it's not just the early years. This is ongoing. It took me a long time to get to even say the word forgive. It took me a long time. And I did a lot of work on it. But I do know that resentment is the number one offender. I swear I know it today like it is my name. I know it is. And I tell folks out there, I don't care where you go or what you do, there's only one way to heal that. And it's a spiritual way, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, the reason I'm able to even forgive myself for a lot of the things I did is because I know that spirit forgives me and loves me. And wants me here for a higher purpose. I know that today. Yeah.
You know, I'm here with my best friend in New Jersey. I was helping her through a healing crisis. And, you know, I mean, best friends for 50 years. And she has seen the worst and the best. And I have to tell you, there isn't a day that goes by that I remember something I did. And I think I got to the point with her now where it's like when I go to attempt to make an amends, right? I have to think about it because I do believe she has forgiven me in so many ways. But forgiving yourself, it is the hardest, isn't it? It is that thing that will cause you to grab that drink if we can't master that.
Yeah, for sure. And resentments against yourself. I mean, oh my gosh, like I could go on and on about that. But yeah, it's for me, it was just, you know, I'm not in control of this thing. And if I don't forgive myself, who's going to? Like, no one else is going to. And I can't be walking around with all that stuff. It's just not going to do me any good. It's where I drank.
Yeah. I mean, talk a little bit about, first of all, the state of stress and affairs out in the world. The numbers are coming out. The statistics are coming out, especially for women, I will say, divorce rate numbers. I mean, things are so through the roof at so many levels. And yet at the same time, you know, there's a lot to be positive about. But the stress of the times past recently have gotten to people. What has been your experience with holding on to a spiritual foundation and getting some relief from the stress, from the anxiety, from the fear, right? Isn't that also the power of this kind of connection?
Yeah, for sure. For me personally, a these past few years have, yes, been very challenging, but I also found myself actually reconnecting with spirit because it was such a time of turmoil. I was out, I go out in nature a lot. That's kind of how I connect. So that you could do, they didn't take that away, right? So I could go out and I could just, you know, be with nature and be with that beautiful creation that just, you know, works. It just happens and everything's perfect. And, you know, all these things happen that keep us living on this earth. I mean, my body works just perfectly and keeps me alive. And I don't know how, it just does. And it's just so, it's so much easier. It's like, oh.
Yeah. I know the most important thing that I have discovered over this, and I would like you to talk about it because it's part of your coaching platform. It's part of what you do. See, we don't talk enough about the fact that you've created something that allows people to show up on your doorstep. Doesn't matter where they are, what they've done, how long they've been doing this or not doing this. You really look at folks from a place of this unconditional place and allow them to step into the doorway and offer them a sense of you're okay. Even though I may not feel okay today, but you offer that to them. And I wanted to ask you, as you created this sense of calm and this sense of peace and in the coaching you've done, what do you feel are the greatest challenges that people have regarding embracing a spiritual notion?
Just being so damn hard on ourselves. Mm. We are like our own worst critic. And it's just, you know, just forgive yourself. It's just, you know, you're beautiful. You are a human being. You are a human being created by something way that I don't even understand. And you're here. And you're here for a reason. And let me help you find that reason. Let me help you, you know, dig into that, whatever that is. Because what's so beautiful about it is it's so different for everybody.
Yeah.
Your story is not my story, it's not his story, her story. It's so wonderful. We're so unique and we have so much to offer each other. We just have to figure out what that is. And I love looking at that with people. It's so rewarding.
And, you know, the thing that we all have in common when we do show up on your doorstep is, and let's talk about, we're sick and tired of being sick and tired. We're really tired of that feeling. You know, I found myself here in the past week, I didn't feel good, but I knew I wasn't sick, but I didn't feel good. And we're so good at covering up the pain. Now, clearly I knew that I had a small infection in my mouth from a medication I take. I knew it, but let's cover it up. Let's not feel it, right? It took me almost 2 weeks to call my doctor and ask me for like an antibiotic because I just want to roll over it. I just don't want to face it, you know, suck up the pain. But people are sick and tired of being sick and tired. What's your message for them?
My message for them is that you don't have to struggle anymore. I can offer you hope. I can offer you help. You just don't have to feel this way. And join me and you can find peace and serenity in your addiction recovery. I promise.
One of the things I do want to mention is the world that we're coming in is very different now. We're going to be launching an addiction channel. The day of hiding in the shadows and not talking about this, that thing is gone. When people ask me about what is the greatest benefit I saw from COVID, I said it blew the doors open for the 12-step programs to go online and reach out to people and talk about things. Don't you find that we have to be more vocal here in order to help people? Because the stigma has not gone away.
No, it hasn't. I know about it personally. I've heard people say things and they didn't realize I was in the room. And I'm like, okay. Yeah. So it's still here. Stigma is getting worse and worse. I feel like the pandemic was great because, like you said, yes, we can reach way more people. I mean, I was having meetings with people in London and India and all kinds of places. It was amazing. I got to meet all these people. But at the same time, I felt like the internet also had kind of a field day with it as well.
No
some of the
kidding.
Zoom bombers and stuff like that. But yeah, and people just were, you know, I mean, the liquor store stayed open. Everything else closed, right? The food stores, the liquor stores. So people were still indulging. And I think they were just not having all that face-to-face accountability necessarily. But I feel like when I go on meeting online or anything, I'm still getting all that accountability. I'm still getting what I need. Yeah. I still connect with people. That was one of the blessings, is that this work that I do, I can connect with anybody anywhere. And it's so freaking amazing that this is available to us.
Now, look, let's make sure, I know this is, but look, you're going to be back. Please tell everyone how they can reach out to you, how they can find you, how they can work with you.
My website's the best way, www.thepeacewecrave. And like I said, Google me, you'll find me everywhere. I'm all over the place. So, yeah.
Last message. What's your personal message? What do you want to leave us all with here? And thank you so much for doing what you do.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Just, you know, if you have a power greater than yourself and you're reaching out to it all the time, great. If you're not, or if you need help with it, you want to change it, you're not sure what to do, just drop me a message. I'm here for you.
I want to echo that. And I want to say to everybody out there, I know how easy it is to reach for that drink or reach for that drug or whatever that is. I know how we, both of us know how easy that is. It's also easy to pick up the phone, call, reach out, Facebook, join a group. People are here to help you take that next step. And if you haven't put the drink down or put the drug down, any day is a great day for you to start. We don't have any judgment around that for you.
Not at all.
All right. Thank you so much for tuning us in, turning us on. And for all of you out there, please, please don't quit before the miracle happens.
You've been listening to The Peace We Crave, Find Your Freedom in Addiction Recovery with me, your host, Tanya D, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in the first Monday of each month at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, as we take you on a spiritual life recovery coach journey and share unique holistic approaches. Let's stop struggling in recovery and restore hope. Join us for each show as we design a pathway to peace and serenity in addiction recovery. You don't have to struggle in recovery anymore. Let me help you find the peace we crave. For more information, visit thepeacewecrave.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers.